Okay. Can we get back to work, member? Is it Miss or Mrs.? Miss Badeli Hlongwa. You are welcome to this interview for the appointment of members of the NYDA board. My name is Ijiba Pulani. I'm the co-chairperson, Honorable Marcel Manopoulos. We are with the honorable members of parliament. They look a bit exhausted. We have been here since early this morning. But they are ready to fire questions. So they will ask you a number of questions, 6 in total. And we've got 30 minutes to go through all the questions. But before we get into the formal questions, can I ask you to present yourself, tell us who's Badeli, your background and everything about you. Basically, we're inviting you to convince us why you should be appointed as a member of the board.
Thank you very much, Chair and Co-Chair. I am Badeli.
If you can just pull the mic.
The problem is I'm a little bit short.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, better. No, fine. Okay. I'm Badeli. So I think one probably should be considered for the board because I've had a chance to be exposed to a number of different areas in youth development through my participation from social space, from education side and political side. I've had quite different experiences, and in that it has produced a character in me that is passionate about youth development, but also a kind of a person that can communicate herself, that can plan, that has a team spirit, and that is willing to go out of the norm to try and produce better results. That also is able to provide leadership to others and to herself. I think that would be the reason that I think I should consider that for the board. It is tempting to go into the details, to the final details, but the issue of time is also another issue to consider. But I'll say in the limit of this of details, I'm currently in the leadership in the political structure, tasked with convening a subcommittee on youth development, and I'm also participating in a professional related committee as well in the treasurer there, which I'm in the engineering space, so I'm in the South African Institute of Chemical Engineers voluntary organization. And also I do participate in church activities as well. I've also had a chance to provide some level of leadership to the other young leaders that we are with the church. I think that I want to stop there. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. The first question will come from Honorable Nick.
Good afternoon, good evening and afternoon, Hlongwa. My question, I've got two questions for you. The first question is, I'll start by replicating the background of the National Youth Commission. The National Youth Commission agency was established by an Act of Parliament, NYCA Act of 2008. Could you briefly elaborate, in terms of your understanding, on the function of the NYCA in terms of the Act? That is the first question. The next question is, in your own assessment, do you think the agency performed its mandate efficiently? And if yes, how so? And if not, what are the shortcomings? And what are your proposals in terms of strengthening the Youth Commission? The NYCA. Provide them the practical example of those. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The National Youth Development Agency has a number of functions, as I understand from the Act. It is supposed to enhance or create competencies and capabilities on economic participation, the National Youth Fund, policy or research, governance, training, development. It is also supposed to provide us youth advisories and information services. It is also expected that there be a National Youth Service. National Youth Services that it gives and social cohesion. It is also expected to expand to provinces and go to right at the ground level at where people are and be accessible at that level. I do also understand that it is able to give certain level of services. For instance, your career development, it must be able to give that. It is also supposed to develop a database for young unemployed people who are job seekers and try and manage that particular database and share with participating stakeholders in terms of ensuring that in the space of employment they come to the fore and assist. On the issue of the performance, of the NYPA. From where I sit, the NYPA started its work immediately after we had dissolved the Youth Commission and Umsobomvu. There has been an amount of work that has been done. We cannot downplay that. I mean, there's been small enterprises that have been assisted by NYPA, either through funding or mentoring. There's been boundaries that have been given. There's been even contact with young people in terms of, you know, advising them what they aim, what they need can be assessed, can be able to assist with. So there's been a lot of work that has been done. But given the scope of the work that the NYPA must cover, you then have an element of saying the task that hasn't been done. The youth sector is a very big sector in South Africa, not in South Africa alone, by the way, even in the world you have those things going on. We're sitting at a very high percentage of young people. And looking at the NYDA and its budget, there's been shortages here. But also, there's been areas of the Act that probably have been done, but have not come through out strongly. For instance, the lobby bit. The Act gives the board a lobbying function, so where it can lobby even outside government organizations, where it can, you know, do different types of programs to try and assist in job creation and also in employment. I think there are a few things that we can still do, particularly in the private sector. NYDA has an opportunity to drive the agenda for youth development. from where I am sitting, there are challenges that the country is facing that we can only take advantage of and actually drive it towards that direction in us. For instance, in the country, we are currently growing to be more dependent on imported food. Agriculture has been quite slow, obviously, because of issues of land and how the industry itself is kind of close to a certain grouping in South Africa. Probably the NYDA should explore that particular space as well to say how do we assist the agriculture sector by pushing a number of young people into that particular space. Even the cohort of your farmers in South Africa, the average age is at 64 years. The frequency of finding a young person amongst them is 1 out of 6, if I'm not mistaken. So we have a space, we have a scope to develop in that space. We can encourage young people to go into that space, but then it means the government must come in to work around policies to ensure that at least young people are allowed to come through the mentoring, etc. For me, those are types of examples. Another quick example would be also in other industries, like the textile industry, people that produce clothes for us, we depended mostly on imported clothing. Maybe we should start looking into how can we negotiate with private sector to actually use what is already there. We buy clothes. You know, there are people that we buy clothes from as working class and poor people. Those people must be able to give us a percentage so that young people will design, produce those products, provide to them so that they send them to us. And in that way, you are creating employment for young people and others, you are sending them into business. I think I want to stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we have Honorable Kaula? Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Kabeza, let's talk about the development plan, which of course argues that it's a good thing, it's an advantage to relatively have a big population of young people in the country, provided that they are going to be those who are at a working age, they are going to be gainfully employed. For gainfully utilized by skilling them, putting them in the job market. Now, with this in mind, taking into consideration the current labor market situation in the country, what can you recommend to ensure that public and private institutions prioritize employment of young people, both skilled and unskilled, with the aim of reducing youth unemployment? That's my question.
What did you call Ms. Basilis?
Kabeza.
Kabeza? Kabeza? What is that?
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the labor market indeed is a big challenge in the country. And the NDC correctly articulated. Now, what is important is that we must understand the issue of job creation not only as a function of a government only. And you cannot speak about jobs when and leave out skills development and education. We must bring all those together. One, I think the big message that must go to young people is that obviously once they are unemployed wherever they are, let them get education. There is a lot of avenues to explore the TVET so that we produce artisans, etc. But then when it comes to job creation, we've realized that government will always struggle to employ everyone because we just need an administration. And after that, most of the work is happening in the private sector. So that relationship must be strengthened. And as young people, we must go more into getting the private sector to come and participate on youth development issues, not only on the employment, but also on mentoring young businesses as well, so that we don't only go looking for jobs, but we also create our own jobs within our own space. And there's been a narrative that I'm from a rural area, so there's been a narrative that when you finish matric, you must move to an urban area and go and look for a job. We must then be able to say, what is it that we can do in the area where we have grown and we grew up, so that at least we are able to create job opportunities there. If we say we are a developing country, which we are building houses, we are doing this, and we are building roads, who is providing us with cement and mortar and bricks? Are young people in that particular space? Who are opening those roads? Who are doing construction on those particular roads? Those are types of things that we can look into trying to deal with the challenge of unemployment that we have, and the labor market that seems to have reached some sort of a thing in job creation. But the advantage that we have is that one. Like I said in the examples that I gave earlier, the issue of land, how do we resolve the issue of land quickly? How do we put it out there? Then we must get the land so that young people are able to go into the activities of agriculture and many other activities that are there to assist the situation. We will always have to work around some of the things that are already in place. There is a youth accord that was signed here in South Africa. Where are all the signatories of the youth accord? And the NYDA sits in a better space as well, because it has a monitoring and evaluation role of all the stakeholders that are participating in youth development. We must be able to go to those stakeholders and say, this commitment that we're making, how can we practicalize it now so that at least the labor market opens and we are able to see more jobs being created? And also emphasize that other people will have to be employed by assisting us to study. Some people will need to go and strengthen the education sector. We have universities that have aging professors, because young, particularly black people, we suffer from black tags and all those things. So when you finish a degree, the first thing that is in your mind is getting employment, but there's also an opportunity to study better and occupy in those particular places. The TVET needs lecturers. Let's also have other young people going into the particular space. There's quite a lot of other opportunities that we can explore to ensure that at least we are able to create a labor market. We must also skill technically everyone that needs to be skilled to ensure that there is an opportunity for us to create more jobs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Court.
Thank you very much, Kabisa. We are very... Actually, I want to say that we are glad that you honored our invitation to interview. Because you can see that women are very scarce.
You have a question or what's right? Court order on
the question that I wanted to raise is that as a young woman who has got a vision, how do you see yourself assisting the NYDA to comply with principle of good governance, particularly looking at the fact that we have to have a government which is effective and also delivers efficient use of resources to the people. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I think as a young woman, I will always view good governance as a way to assist not just the government but the greater population at large of the government itself. The NYDA probably you know will have had a, some sort of a history before the last two or three years where students improved dramatically in terms of how these students are getting there in the space of governance, including the finances. The good governance that or the principles of good governance that the NYDA is subject to as a public entity are the ones that will govern any other public entity. We cannot be exclusive young people. So issues of finance management, the federal regulations will apply to all of us. But especially as a federal, it's important to project an image that will really have a good image of the people to the government. Because we can never shy away that if there's an issue around how the NYDA is governed, the government is tainted in this particular picture as well. So it remains important, but it also remains important to communicate with the people what is going on. Because some of the perceptions that we decided there's problems with the type of governance that is displayed by the NYDA is because there's no communication. And when you're dealing with young people, you are dealing with a very anxious sector that is feeling like, you know, no one is paying attention on their developmental issues. So it remains important that in that space of ensuring that we comply with all the legislative frameworks that is there, we also communicate ourselves as young people with other young people in terms of what is going on. If they are trying to raise their capital, if they are good things that are going down, let's do them. But it is also important every to subject ourselves to learning from what is being done in other public entities in terms of the good governance. Because as much as you have all the good documents, you also have to see practices, good practices. It is also important to look at what are the reports of what has happened in the past, saying what do they get there, so that at least we improve, so that the good governance itself remains good governance, not that it's good governance because it's being efficient, but there's also a progressive improvement in terms of how we do things and how we protect ourselves. The issue of money can never be overemphasized. We need to be able to spend the budget of the citizens, well, I always say from the citizens, because most of our money comes from taxes. And we need to spend properly. The PSMA is there to guide how we will spend, how we will account and who's accounting. And where there are issues of, you know, grey areas where you really don't understand. For me, there's always avenues, particularly because we are a group of young people. So it's not that we can do everything. So let's allow ourselves to learn so that at least we keep the principle of good governance. So we make sure that we are responding to the needs of young people. We are accessible. We are also very transparent. Like I said, we be able to communicate ourselves. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kapoor.
Thank you, Chair Sister. My question is, one of the main objectives of the NYDA Act develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa, as well as to develop the guidelines for its implementation and to make recommendations to the President. If you could please elaborate on your understanding of the integrated youth development strategy and explain to the committee why you believe this strategy is important.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kassan. The youth development in this country has been well packaged in the national youth policy. It is also has its foundations laid very well in the National Youth Development Act. So all of those are good documents, but then in terms of how you're going to practicalize the objective, the and the functions of the NYD, how you're gonna make them, you know, happen. You also need a strategy. If you we look at the Excel NYDA is must drive youth development. So in driving it, you will need the strategy. Then we speak to programs. Then we speak to strategy. But also let me speak to an approach that can be used as a uniform approach on youth development across different sectors. So your organs of state, your private sector, your civil society, we must be able to move together. Now that strategy will be able to assist us to do that moving together. So that at least we eliminate the duplication of some of the things, because you will find that you know, there's an organ of state somewhere that is doing a similar thing with another one somewhere. You can achieve two things if you align yourself there. You can minimize the resources spent, but also you will have more human resource to move forward with the similar program. So it's a very important document that the NYCA board, I want to understand, must be able to produce. I know that there was one strategy that was running together with the National Youth Policy from 2012-2016. And currently we are due for a review so that we align it with the NYP 2020. So it's one of those documents that remain very, very important for the exercise of the National Youth Development Agency. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Ms. Makabisi. We have already touched on the youth policy, the national youth policy. But I want to take you back to say that there are aims and objectives of the policy. Now, if you get appointed to be the member of the board, can you share with the panel your understanding of those objectives? And how do you think the board should achieve those particular objectives within the National Youth Policy 2015-2020 vision? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mwani. The objectives of the NYE, I call it Yamyang, so I do this thing. NYP 2020, the National Youth Policy, speaks to consolidation and integration of youth development programs with the intention of mainstreaming for government, for private sector and civil society. We must be able to be inclusive in how we approach youth development. No one should feel left out or discriminated, whether because of age, because of gender, because of color, etc. It also, in its objectives, calls for us to apply a certain level of integrity, in fact a high level of integrity when we deal with issues of youth development. And my favorite one is the one of encouraging patriotism amongst young people so that we produce a better country in the future. NYP as a policy is based on the National Development Plan. And one of the issues that is raised by the National Development Plan is that we are faced with triple challenges. And even that as young people, we are the majority in the country, we are the most affected. So the policy tries to respond to these challenges by having different focus areas. And one of those focus areas is education, it's development, and it's issues of unemployment. So the national youth policy must then is then speaking to those areas and what could be done in terms of addressing those issues. In the question that says what can be done or what we are contributing towards into the issue of the bond, what with this particular perspective, it becomes important then that as a person who intends to be a board, so let me just imagine that I'm now in the board. It will be important to go back to the stakeholders and relook at the issues that hold agreement already. I've mentioned the youth accord area. It will be important to have those discussions. If we're speaking to the Department of Agriculture, we still remember what they signed up for in the youth accord and what can we do in line with the national youth policy to address, even if it's just, it's not a big issue, it's not a big scope that they can address at that particular time. But then the other piece that will also be important is the one of trying and monitoring and evaluating in all the other stakeholders that are participating. Is the work happening? And when you look at the policy and try and evaluate at the frequency that you're evaluating at, are you able to see all the objectives of the national youth policy coming through in the programs that we have done? I think we must be able to do those things. And there are things that we nowadays take lightly. I believe that when we want to deal with the issue of patriotism, we will not only be just talking about it, there must be programs that we speak about that speaks to that. Open dialogue with young people to understand where we come from as a country and where we are trying to go. To understand the national development policy, which is overarching our national youth policy. Why is it there? What is it trying to achieve? All those discussions, we must be able to deal with them. But then, also, what does it mean to be a patriotic citizen? Those are kinds of discussions that should be open with young people, particularly taking into account that we live in a world of social media, a very advanced state of technology. It's a kind of discussion that you should be able to deal with. Thank you.
Okay, the last question will be asked by Honourable Malopoda.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Vandile Song. My question is based on the principles of the youth development. Building upon what you, because the earlier question that has been addressed before this one, it is the objectives of the national youth policy. But this one is just with the principles, just building upon what you have just responded to. The NYDA Act and the national youth policy deals with the principles of youth development. And now, this number of years, previous years, there's a perception among the youth that NYDA is there to serve certain sections of the youth. So, for you, did it happen that you are appointed as a board member? How do you think that the board should address towards the perception to the young people about the NYDA? That's about the sub. This is the first sub question. The second one. And now the NYDA has to ensure that in its leadership that there is a consistent effort that could guide the principle of youth development without prejudice. So if you can address those two, the principles of youth development and also the perception, and take into consideration the act and also the policy.
Thank you. Okay. I think one on the on the issue of public resources development.
Try to speak a little bit far from the mic.
From, okay.
Not very far, but...
See, I'm struggling here with the height. Okay. Hopefully this is better. On the principles of youth development, you obviously in South Africa you must be looking at a very inclusive type of approach in terms of your principles when you want to do youth development. Simply because we are a country that believes in inclusiveness, we don't discriminate against gender, sexual orientation, race, etc. We need to be able to be inclusive. We need to be able to also include people with living with disabilities and all those things. They are very important. But we also need to be very transparent because we are a type of a government that we obviously is for the people. We also need to have to adopt. Okay, at least when I summarize it, it looks like we are adopting principles, but to pay principles, all of them: responsiveness, openness, etc. All those principles are important for youth development. So that when you go out, you are holistic in nature, you are able to address all without excluding. The challenge is obviously will always be that the country is big and wide. So how do you make sure that a person is not a red tape, does not feel like you are addressing people of how they are better, and hence feel excluded? That's why it's important then to say, to address issues of those particular perceptions if they come across. You need to consistently ensure that NYDA as an agency is out in the public and known. When it's out in the public and known, it means we've invested much more on its marketing and its marketing of its program. People know that today NYDA is where doing what. When you've evaluated and the year is over, what has gone down to wrap up the year? All those things will remain important to try and deal with issues of perception. But also it's important that as you go along as a board, My perception is that, well, I have my own views as well on how the board is supposed to meet for times a year, which is good. But probably we also need to allow the board to go and monitor and have a look at provincial level, or extend the board such that it is able to have that role of monitoring and evaluation where the work is being done. I believe it will be easier for us to develop young people when we understand their areas that they are in. I've learned to look at each and every province if I move around and say, if this province, what can you do here to address issues of young people? Because as much as there are issues that cut across, there are issues that will be specific to certain areas. That you can address quickly, then those how to address quickly so that people will be able to say, as much as the bigger things have not come through like land, but we've been able to address the issue of a child that is unable to go to school from a rural area somewhere in Soviet state. So to address perception, basically, we need to come very close to the people. Besides the media, we've exploring the media, but we also need to physically be able to come closer and interact more with them. I saw that the act called for the NYDA to be found at local level. If I were to be appointed to the board, my first meeting will be with the Minister of Culture to say, let's agree that these local municipalities under the youth development offices will host NYDA there, so that young people can, you know, go straight there and get the information they need. Even if it starts at just a level of providing information, and then obviously as you go along, increase the competencies. So that the perceptions of us being exclusive and dealing with all other people but certain people will then be will start to disappear. Let's leave the English. Will start to disappear, because so long as young people can't access NYDA, we will always have negative perceptions about it. And COGTA has an already existing infrastructure at local level. There's no area in South Africa that does not have a local municipality. And young people arrive there at this level. So for me, that remains very important to address. And obviously, consistently be able to assist young people to access and understand what kind of help you would get in the NYDA, etc., etc. Can you be kind of repeat your last question?
Okay, I think
I've incorporated all of the things.
We are already out of time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks a lot for the for the answers. Do we have anybody would like to make a follow-up? What are up on the phone?
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Gabriel, for me, the latter three sentences in terms of extension of the board vis-à-vis the voting structure, noting that recently, in terms of also cutting down the cost so that the NYDA can execute its core mandate, can you amplify what was the due meaning the extension of the board?
What I meant is, currently you have a board of seven that must monitor and drive youth development across a country of population of 54 million people, or say 80 million or so young people. Now, for this board to be able to work and be effective, there must be a way of saying, how does it extend it? I can give an example of what I say, what I mean about that. For instance, the department, the government department have what we call youth directorates. So you can always get those, when there's many options you can use. You can actually get those as some sort of an extension. Or appoint one or two people in a province and then extend them by those, so that they will monitor the way of youth development together. There's quite a number of options that you can do. But when it comes to the actual access to the NYDA function, that one I think is an issue of discussing with people already in infrastructure, because I don't think the NYDA has money to build infrastructure. I mean, there's a 400 million budget where you still have to run offices. It's absolutely nothing. So you need to be able to go to a person that already has infrastructure and say, help me, if there's a way, even all that paying for a person that will be dealing with this particular portion of development. So for me, we can use what is already there. And until a certain time when we convince the government that the other intention of mentioned some of the youth commissioners to get the budget together and be flexible about it. But for now, when you deal with this one, we'll need to be creative on how to make it work for yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. And thanks for coming. Formalities, always the last ones. We will deliberate after the interviews. Prepare our report with the recommended names of Parliament. Once Parliament approves, both houses will send it to the Parliament, will send it to the President. And if the President agrees, we'll send it off and then appoint the seven members of the board, including the chair and the deputy chair. And it will be notified. But as you know, Parliament is a transparent institution. A public institution. I'm sure you will be following on our deliberation. as we move along. But
thank you.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. One of the members says, we're receiving a request that there is one candidate who would like to be prioritized because he or she has to go to the flight, going to miss the flight. So we have agreed that